Claire Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 14 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are very well. I, like many people, am experiencing a low-level sense of anxiety at this time. Today I was with a couple of friends. We get together every 6 weeks or so. It's a sort of coaching circle or a mastermind group, if you like, and we bring topics that we want to talk about and get input and coaching and insights from each other. And one of the topics that I brought was around this low level of anxiety. For me, there isn't anything particularly in my life that's triggering it at the moment, and I wondered if it was a more generalized sense of anxiety about the state of the world. I won't be the first person to talk about this, and there are some really wise voices around at the moment, people like Marianne Williamson, Byron Katie, who have some ways of looking at this anxiety, this fear, if you like, and some strategies for what to do with it, how to settle it or how to direct it. Now, it may be that you're not experiencing this anxiety, this fear and concern at the moment about this particular topic, and that's fine, in which case you might find some aspects of this podcast today a little irrelevant to you. But one of the things you might be interested in is some statistics that I'm going to share with you, some data. I've talked before about the Edelman Trust Barometer, a survey, a report that comes out at the beginning of every year that looks at the state of trust globally over the last 12 months. And I want to share some of that data with you. And this aspect of it, even if you're not feeling anxious about the state of the world in general, you might be interested in some of this data and what it means for us in the business world. This podcast is not going to be about politics. It is going to be about business. But I think that it's really important for us to understand some of the triggers for the events of the last few months, the last 12, 18 months, if you like, if we look at Brexit, if we look at the election of Donald Trump, if we look at the rise of discontent, right-wing extreme politics around Europe. Some of this lies in the data that I'm going to share with you, and it's worth us understanding it in business for some reasons that I want to explain to you in this podcast. In 2007, when I started writing about the future of leadership, after working with leaders for about 7-8 years and seeing how conventional theories of leadership and change looked like they should work but didn't work, I was telling readers of my books in those days, that levels of trust in authority figures were at an all-time low. About the time of the recession, levels of trust in major institutions were extremely low, certainly the lowest that they'd been in the history of the Edelman Trust Barometer. In 2013, when I started speaking about the future of leadership, I was still saying pretty much the same thing. And I carried on saying that for the next couple of years. It made for a really powerful speech. It's a very memorable turn of phrase that levels of trust in authority figures have never been so low. I don't want to make it sound like I was excited that levels of trust were low, but it did give a lot of energy to my speech and make it sound very compelling that we need to do something about it. Last year, I had to stop. The figures in the 2016 Edelman Trust Barometer told us that levels of trust were at a post-recession high. There was a widening gap between levels of trust amongst what's called the informed public and the mass population. So the mass population's improvement in trust was growing more slowly than the informed public. But nonetheless, things seem to be getting better. It slightly undermined my argument from the stage, but I focused on what leaders who are trusted were actually doing. And there were some really interesting pointers in the data, revealing stories about themselves and how they got to where they are and what they learned from their failures and how their education took them to the positions that they were in and their values. These were the kind of things that the Edelman Trust Barometer identified helped us to trust leaders. But The 2017 Edelman Trust Barometer is now out, and it shows that trust is in crisis. In fact, it's not been as bad as this in the history of the Edelman Trust Barometer, which is a 17-year-old survey. Now, it's no surprise in a way, unless you've been living underground, that we have a trust issue in our world today. We live in the world of post-fact politics, post-fact news. The world feels dangerous. Of the major institutions, and those major institutions are government, media, NGOs, and business, government and media are the most distrusted institutions. France, the UK, and the USA have the greatest gap in trust levels between the informed public and the mass population. So trust amongst the mass population in government and media are very low compared with trust in government and media by the informed public. And by the way, the informed public is just a very small proportion. It's about 20% of the overall population. So the majority, the vast majority of people in France, the UK and the USA have very low levels of trust in government and media. Business is on the brink of mistrust, but represents what the Edelman report calls the last retaining wall. And that's really what I want to talk about. Because standing where I stand in the world of business, this is my world, this is where I spend my time. I spend my time running my own business, I spend my time supporting and coaching leaders in big businesses. Most of my friends run their own businesses or work in SMEs. We can look at what's happening in the political world and think that it has nothing to do with us. Think that the only way that we can make a difference is maybe by voting, maybe by campaigning, maybe by marching, but our attention is on what's happening in the political world and in the media and the clash between the two. And we can come at this from a very personal perspective as a member of the general public. But I think, and this was inspired by the Edelman Trust Barometer's data and its warnings in a sense, I think that business has a responsibility too. Because what's going on isn't just political, it's global. And if you think about it, how business is perceived and experienced, whether you're an employee of a business or a customer of a business, or part of the local community where a business is based or operates from, or a supplier to a business, or even just from a distance observing how businesses behave. How business is perceived and experienced has a dramatic impact on our experience of the world. At the Meaning Conference last year, one of the speakers was from Lush Cosmetics, and she pointed this out. A quarter of your salary goes to government in the form of taxes. And when we vote, we express an opinion, in part, about how we want that money to be spent. But the other three quarters goes to business, to shops, supermarkets, shoe shops, clothes shops, to mortgage companies, to restaurants, to insurance companies, to motor manufacturers, to gyms, to the satellite broadcaster that gives you your TV, to everything else we pay for out of our salary. It goes to a business, one way or the other. And what they do with it matters, or it should. Equally, not only are you giving your money, three quarters of your money, to business, but chances are 100% of your income comes from a company. Unless you work in the public sector or in the third sector, your income probably comes from private business. Not only that, but your experience of life is shaped by your experience of work. If you spend 35, 50, 70 hours a week in the office and then more time outside of the office thinking about what's happened in the office, the work that you're doing, the culture that you operate in, the impact that the organisation is having on customers or on suppliers or on the planet, this really affects your experience of life. Business has, arguably, a far greater impact on how we feel about the world than politicians. It's not only that the economy is driven by business, but our sense of well-being is driven by business. It's not only the impact that business has on our planet long-term, But short-term decisions like the decision to cut travel budgets or to stop people working from home or make people wear technology that tells their employer where they are all the time, all of this has an impact on how we feel about our world and about our lives. And this is why trust is right back up there as a theme for me. This low-level anxiety, we might even call it fear, drives terrible decisions. Fear drove many people to vote Trump and to vote for Brexit. According to the Edelman Trust Barometer, 67% of Trump voters described themselves as fearful. Only 45% of Clinton voters described themselves as fearful. 54% of Leave voters described themselves as fearful versus only 27% of Remainers. What are those people afraid of? Well, according to this data, they've lost belief in the system. They see injustice. They feel a lack of hope. They don't have confidence in the future, and they desperately desire change. Corruption, globalization, the eroding of social values, immigration, and the pace of innovation are the five key triggers for that fear. And business plays a massive part in that. Now, when it comes to corruption, yes, maybe people are concerned about political corruption, but they're also concerned about corruption in business. Globalization, business has a huge responsibility for the impacts of globalization. The eroding of social values, as we've already seen. People work a lot of their lives, and their experience of work and the norms of work and the culture in work affects how they feel about their lives. So business has a part to play in how people feel. Immigration isn't always driven by economic factors, but often it is. And business has a part to play in that topic as well. And of course, the pace of innovation. Innovation is hugely valued in business, and it's one of the ways that businesses create more profit and improve market share. But what about the implications for people who are left behind by the pace of innovation? What's businesses' responsibility there? When people are afraid, they tap into their amphibian brain, the fight or flight guy. He doesn't rationalize. He doesn't listen to his deeper wisdom or consider others and their needs. Business has a responsibility here. People are afraid. When businesses are very internally focused, what they think about is creating a trusting organizational culture and engagement figures and getting good scores in the Gallup Q12 survey. But I think that businesses need to look outside themselves and think not just how do we create a happy workforce because a happy workforce works harder for us, but what is our contribution to the trust in the society in general? It has global significance for the stability of our planet. If businesses ignore their responsibilities as creators of the world in which we live and distance themselves from politicians as if they somehow inhabit a different world, they neglect their duty as one of the four institutions that maintain global stability. It's not okay for business to say it's none of our business. In practice, what does this mean for us in the business world? Well, Edelman has a few suggestions if we're looking at this from a macro perspective. Firstly, companies should stop taking bribes in order to win contracts. Well, that's pretty obvious, of course, but still it goes on in parts of the world. They should stop overpaying executives. When executives are paid hundreds of times more than regular employees, it's seriously damaging to trust. And without trust, people become fearful. They need to stop avoiding tax by using havens and moving their money around. People don't like it, and it makes people distrustful of the credibility and the ethics of business. They need to stop overcharging for products that people need every day. From a purely financial focus, it makes sense to charge a lot for things that people need a lot. But the impact long term is that people stop trusting business. And don't forget, they already don't trust government and they already don't trust media. So what happens when they also stop trusting business? Can things improve in that environment? And they need to stop reducing the quality of products in order to improve profit margins. Again, if a business is entirely focused on margins and this quarter's EBITDA figures, then they will compromise their integrity in order to hit those numbers. And it may seem like a small thing, and it may seem like it has nothing to do with Brexit or Trump or right-wing extremism. But this chipping away and subtle chipping away at people's trust accumulates and people become fearful. What do they need to start doing? Well, they need to start treating employees well. And I'm not talking about, you know, a vegan and a vegetarian and a gluten-free option in the staff canteen. I'm talking about really valuing people and helping people to find meaning and purpose and a sense of place through their work. They need to produce quality goods. It can't all be disposable, cheap, that breaks the first time you try to use it. They need to listen to customers. And I talk a lot about listening in podcasts and in my speeches and in my writing when I'm working with clients. But I mean really listening to customers and listening to the stuff that is hard to hear. What are customers really trying to tell you? What do they really need from you? They need to pay their taxes. And they need to be ethical in their business practices. What does that mean for individual leaders then? Because maybe we don't have so much influence over the global policies of international companies that we happen to work for or work with. Well, I think it means being a person who is worthy of trust, knowing what you stand for, and then standing for it. There is a concern that the behavior of people like Trump is infectious, that more becomes tolerated, more of that kind of behavior, more of that kind of language, that people are given permission to behave in ways that they wouldn't have behaved in, maybe due to political correctness, last month or a few months ago or a few years ago. That doesn't mean that we all need to follow suit. Do you know what you stand for and do you stand for it? Do you form authentic relationships with people based on authentic human connection, where you take off the mask and reveal who you really are? And it also means looking inside and asking, how trusting are you? What do you distrust? If you say that you trust your people, what does that really mean? How much freedom would you be willing to give them if you really did trust them? The Edelman Report has some important clues as well about how to communicate in a way that engenders trust. If you've been complacent about this stuff, it's really time to take it seriously. This is more than just improving staff engagement. The Edelman Report calls business the last retaining wall. If we don't take seriously our responsibilities in the business world to maintain and strengthen that retaining wall, it's hard even to imagine what the consequences will be for global stability. It's no joke now. We can see how the style of the communicator has vastly more impact than the credibility of their message. And therefore, being complacent about this is neglecting your responsibilities as a leader. So don't rely on a script. Speak spontaneously. People don't trust you when you're too rehearsed, when you're too polished. Be direct, be blunt. There isn't any tolerance for diplomatic language. And I'm not talking about being rude, and I'm not talking about being judgmental towards people's differences when I say blunt and direct. I mean speaking your mind, speaking your truth, and tell personal stories. Reveal who you are rather than relying on data. People don't make decisions on the data. I think we can see that now. They make decisions with their gut. And it has to be genuine. It would be easy to listen to what I've just said and fake it, but that is not going to improve trust. That is the veneer of trying to improve trust. All it's going to do is to undermine trust in you. When it isn't genuine, it breeds more distrust. It might serve your purposes short term, but long term, it'll just result in the spiraling down of trust globally. Be part of rebuilding the foundation rather than capitalizing on the mayhem. Rather than waiting for politics and the media to sort themselves out, we in the business world can set things right. But to do that, we have to stop this obsession with fast profits at any cost, with being busy doing the next thing on the to-do list, with firing off emails and thinking that we've communicated. We need to be ourselves. We need to be the very best of ourselves. And we need to take seriously our responsibility to be the last retaining wall still standing.
We now have a Facebook page where you can get information about the podcast, links to other articles and experts, and connect with like-minded people. Just search Punks and Suits and like our page. Of course, you can also follow Mummy on Twitter at Blair Palmer, Instagram at Blair Lees Palmer, or email her, Blair@thatpeoplething.com.